For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Yeah, I didn't ask for it, but it's good to be here. I'm not really an LA guy. I grew up in Hanford. How's that? And I survived that water. Now, anytime, like, my wife's from Portland, and so she's like, oh, the water's not good. I'm like, try living in Hanford and tasting that stuff. But anyways, it's good to be here. Let me just kind of give you a little sense of what I'm going to share about. I mean, the idea of XXXChurch.com came to me when I was a youth pastor. And so I didn't grow up. I'm 40. I got a 13-year-old. We're out there, front row. So, yes, the clap for you. So, and an 11-year-old, I'm old now, but I didn't grow up around pornography. I grew up in a Christian home, and we had the pay channels. We didn't have the pay channels, but I had heard you could scramble them if you like tried enough. So I remember like sitting there, AB, anyone else do that? Yeah, you're like, oh, I see snow. I see, wow, what is that? And then, I mean, that's as close to pornography as I could get because I was so short. In middle school, there's the liquor store had the magazines at the top rack, but they were always like guarded by that like black thing that's in front of them. So I couldn't steal it. I wasn't, you know, brave enough. And so I was really never really exposed to pornography. I mean, I had seen it a handful of times. And I remember I went to school studying to be a minister, and all my roommates were sitting around the computer one day, and you know those computers back then, the big bulky Dells or the Compaq or Gateway or whatever it was, and I remember it took about 5.5 minutes to download, and it slowly just was downloading, and finally it was there, and it was this photo, and I remember sitting there, and we all just looked at it, and it was like, that was that quick. Now some of you are going, wait, 5.5 minutes for an image to download? I mean, compared to like chasing down a dumpster or trying to find pornography, like how you used to have to do, this was quite a victory. And I remember working with kids at the time, and we just realized, like, this is a game changer. That the internet is going to change the way people view pornography. It's going to make something that was so hard to find so hard to avoid. My mom thinks because she's related to me, when she gets an email that's like inappropriate, oh, they know I'm related to you. Like, mom, who's they? Like, oh, though I don't know, those people must know, like we have, like I'm close to you. I'm like, no, mom, they just send stuff, or if you click on something, or if you misspell something, you're inundated with this stuff. The reality is the sex industry is about a $70 billion a year industry. Your church and our church, XXX Church, and if you guys don't know, you guys go to this porn convention every year in January. You guys send a team, and you're there alongside of us to be just both two booths there that are able to just let people know that God loves you and that this stuff is not for real, that this stuff is a disappointment. It's not going to fulfill you long term. And your church and, you know, I've known Ron for quite some time, and the heart and the desire of the people here at this church is not to just point fingers and yell at people and wear bad t-shirts with flames on them and megaphones, but really just try and share the good news with people. But the reality is this, when it comes to porn and sex and things of this nature, it's still difficult. Because people carry around the shame and the guilt and the association with this stuff is just that it's got you feeling like you're the only one going through this. You're the only family that's facing this. You're the only parent that's walked in on your child that struggled with this. Or you're the only spouse that's caught your husband or your wife dealing with this. And the reality is that's simply not true. There's a pastor that was recently just let go from his mega church, and it was in the news, all the tabloids, and the reality, it said this in his speech that he gave. He didn't give a speech, but he wrote a speech to his church, and he just kind of shared, hey, you know what? I struggle with alcohol, and I'm no longer qualified to be the pastor. But he said this. He said, let me be very clear. Neither my wife or I have committed any sort of sexual sin. I have not stolen money. I have not been looking at porn, and there was absolutely no domestic abuse. He just struggled with alcohol. But I was sitting in bed and this idea kind of just hit me, and it said this, at least it's not porn. And he didn't say that exactly. And I said to my wife, and she didn't understand what I was trying to say, but I said, it's quotes like this that make what we do so difficult. When pornography is lumped into beating your wife, and it's lumped in there with stealing money from the church, and pornography has such a rap like this that we have open doors for in our churches for so many issues, but somehow the mindset is if we struggle with pornography or sins of this nature, then like, oh, there's something wrong, then we're disqualified obviously from any sort of thing, but at least it's not porn. And I have a hard time with that because there's so many people that I know struggle with pornography. They struggle with this stuff. And I was talking to people in the lobby after the first service that just said, hey, if I could just find somebody that wouldn't judge me or wouldn't look at me differently, but it's so hard to talk about these issues. And I would say that's true with like my generation. Like anybody that's, you know, say 35 to 45, 55, you grew up in that idea that, hey, we can't talk about it. Let me tell you. Kids today think so differently about porn than we do. A guy named George Barna, he does all these studies and comes out with this stuff, and he's smarter than obviously any of us. And I just kind of looked through the reports, and he just released one about porn and the stats in the church and with teenagers and all this stuff. And I was reading through like this 40-page document, and one thing stood out to me beyond anything on there. We made this short video. Watch this.
Meet Matt. Matt is just a regular teenager. He cares about his friends. He cares about the environment. And he cares about his future. But one thing he doesn't care about, pornography. In a recent study, 71% of young adults reported using their smartphones to access pornography, whether they were looking for it or not. In that same study, 62% of teens say they've received a sexually explicit image on their phones. And 32% of teens and young adults like Matt said that looking at porn or sexually explicit images is wrong. Know how many teens and young adults said the same thing about not recycling? 56%. In other words, when it comes to today's teens and young adults, more of them are worried about this garbage than they are about this garbage. Let's change the stats. Let's change Matt. Head to xxxchurch.com/recycle to learn how.
I just think it's fascinating. 56% of kids say there's a problem with not recycling. 32% of kids say there's a problem with viewing pornography. So I don't think porn and sex and all this stuff should have that guilt and shame and secretive, you know, all that stuff that maybe us as adults carry around. And I don't think it should just be kind of flippantly like, oh, no big deal over here like kids are thinking. But somewhere here in the middle, there's this idea of, hey, this is for real. This is dangerous. That this is something that we need to be open and honest with. It's scary to think that teenagers are growing up going, man, it's not a big deal. I'm bored. They found that most teens look at porn just they're bored and they're online. And it's no big deal. I was in New Orleans this past week speaking at a youth conference, and I just did this session where you just asked questions. You typed in questions called Questions You Can't Ask Your Mom About Sex. And people just texted their question and I answered them. We did that for 3 days, thousands of kids. And it was scary to me to see the questions that were coming in from kids. A lot of these questions about, well, okay, what can I, how far can I go? Obviously, that's a normal one, but so many questions regarding sexting and what's inappropriate and what's not, and how do I tell a guy that I really don't want to see that? And I actually said to this audience of thousands of kids, hey, I don't know a grown married woman that likes to see a man's penis, let alone a middle school or a high school kid, and all the girls just erupted in cheers. Which kind of said to me, like, guys, quit sending this stuff. Quit thinking that, hey, this is just okay. So when we talk about porn today, I'm not just talking about some video that, you know, your grandpa had in his, you know, VHS. Like, I'm talking about kids today. They're interacting with this stuff. They're this idea of everybody can kind of be a star, and we're asking and saying inappropriate things. This isn't just what you're watching on a screen. This has now become your education for sex, and it's not the right education. the things that you're watching on a screen aren't what, you know, what you're going to see in a real marriage. I find that people think, oh, well, I'm just dealing with this now. Eventually it will go away. And those guys and women that are married that are struggling with this stuff, you guys can probably agree that the things you play with in high school play with you as an adult, that these things don't just go away, that these are serious deals that we have to talk about, and we've got to be more and more open in the church. I texted Ron, your pastor, and I just said, hey, what do you want? You know, he invited me back. I said, what do you want to talk about? He's like, keep talking about porn. Like, this is a big deal. Like, most churches just kind of cross it off on a list and go, oh, I was here 2.5 years ago. Hey, we were here 2.5 years ago. That's good. And Ron's like, no, man, we need to keep talking about this stuff. So today I want to share with you this passage out of 1 Corinthians. It'll be on the screen in chapter 6. It says this. It says, just because something's technically legal doesn't make it spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get away with, I'd be a slave to my whims. You know the old saying, first you eat to live and then you live to eat. Well, it might be true that the body's only a temporary thing, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the master honors you with a body, honor him with your body. God honored the master's body by raising it from the grave. He'll treat yours with the same resurrection power. Until that time, remember that your bodies are created with the same dignity as the master's body. You wouldn't take the master's body off to a whorehouse, would you? I should hope not. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much as a spiritual mystery as a physical fact. As written in scriptures, the two become one. And since we want to become spiritually one with the master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. There's a sense in which sexual sins are different. They're different from all others. In sexual sins, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with one another. Didn't you realize your body's a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see you can't keep living however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works, so let people see God in and through your body. Man, there's a lot there, but I love when I'm asked the question, well, what's porn? Because nowadays it's like a blurred line of like, oh, well, that's not really pornographic. Hey, if it's on Showtime or Cinemax after 9 o'clock, I would say it's porn. You know, like you know it when you see it. Even if it's not got an X rated or, oh, that's just mature. Well, that doesn't mean it's not porn. Means they cut out a few things from a porn video and made it, you know, mature. This passage says, the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever, the kind of sex that can never become one. I think that's describing obviously sex outside of marriage, but also things like pornography. It avoids commitment. It's just you. It's just what you like. Just when you like this, it's never going to become one. It's going to leave you emptier than you've ever felt before. And that's the thing with pornography. It gets you craving more and more. What you finished looking at last night, you're not going to just, you know, start where you started last night. You're going to start where you ended up. And now it's going to be progressive. And a lot of things happen. Like what you're looking at online eventually now goes offline. Whether that's an affair, whether that's strip clubs, whether that's massage. I mean, there's a number of things that this kind of, and places that this takes you with. And every day we deal with people that are losing their life, that are losing their marriage, that are losing their ministry. I talked to a guy after church and he goes, man, this is for real. Like I lost my job because of this. Most people wait till they lose something and then it gets their attention. Then they go, okay, I'm serious. I hope today you don't ruin your life. I hope today that you take this seriously, that you just go, man, if you're in high school, you're in junior high, you're going, man, no, I'm gonna do this the right way. You're in marriage. You're going, no, I'm gonna stop. I hope you don't ruin your life, but the reality is like I deal with people every day that's what they do. I watched my own best friend ruin his life from years of a porn addiction that he couldn't even be honest with me about, to having an affair, to getting caught, losing his job in church, and gosh, everything is gone. And he's still not kind of clued into the thought of, hey, look what I've done. The Bible says sin clouds your vision from seeing Christ clearly. I think it's just this fog over a lot of people's lives where they just go, man, I feel defeated. I feel ashamed. I feel like worthless. I don't have a voice anymore. I can't lead my family. I can't lead in my job. A lot of that, I believe, is because of the sin that you're involved in. So today I want to share with you 6 ways to ruin your life. My daughter's in the back. She's like, Dad, what are you talking about today? I said, 6 ways to ruin your life. Huh? Is it opposite day? I said, yeah, it's good. I'll tell you, it's opposite day. So don't do any of these things that I'm going to give you. But if you want to ruin your life, feel free. I hope you don't do any of them because it's opposite day. That idea, though, is I talk to so many people and they don't do anything that you tell them. So, you know, at some point, I'm just like, oh, let's switch it around. Hopefully, you don't do any of these things. You do the opposite. If you want to ruin your life, though, go ahead. Here we go. Fight temptation with willpower. Oh, I just brush it off. I'm just fight it off. Like, I'm just like, I'm strong enough to defeat any of that comes my way. Have that mindset. Let me tell you, you'll ruin your life. You're not strong enough. You're not good enough. Like, this is so overwhelmingly, like, tempting everywhere that if you haven't thought through some of this stuff, just because you want it doesn't mean, like, that's gonna be your reality. I've wanted a 6-pack of abs, like, pretty much my whole life. I don't still have them. It doesn't work. Because really, I've come to the conclusion, I don't want a 6. I keep telling myself I want a 6-pack. Guess what? I bought the Ab Energizer. It was $39. My wife said it was foolish. Like, don't buy that. But I bought it, and I was like, no, it's awesome. It's a belt, and it doesn't, like, you don't have to do sit-ups with it. It just, like, shocks you. It's like, that's genius. It has, like, the ad, the info commercial, because I like all those info commercials. Like, that's my problem. But the guy's, like, drinking a Coke and eating a pizza, and he's working out. Like, that's my kind of gym. I got out of the box, opened it, and was like, this is awesome. Like, I would sit around with my shirt off, like, working out. Wife would look at me, and it's like, it's not going to work. It just gives me, like, red dots instead of, like, that definition of abs. You know what I'm talking about, because I forgot the lotion. So then I was like, ah, gosh, that didn't work. So I went big time. I got the Bowflex. Problem is, I don't even know how to set stuff like that up. So it, like, sat in pieces, and then I had, like, an intern set it up for me. He's like, are you going to use this? My wife's like, you took our guest bedroom and turned it into this? And then I didn't ever go to the guest bedroom and do the Bowflex because, like, that's hard. Like, the commercial made it look so easy. Then I bought the P90X DVDs. Yeah, you bought those too. Did you do it? No, like 90 minutes? That's awful. Like, but just having the DVDs, it's like, yeah, I got P90X, you know, like, guess what? My wife has this video and she just told me yesterday, she told her kids in the car, our kids in the car, they're stopping this year and making VCRs. My kid's like, what's a VCR? But anyways, we have one. And on the VCR, there's this 8-minute ab tape cassette, or VHS cassette, that my wife's like, this is the best thing I've ever done. And I was like, 8 minutes? That's easy, but it's still like 8 minutes. She's like, if you want abs, Craig, like, do this exercise with me. Like, oh, no, I really don't want abs. Like, so just, I don't want them bad enough to actually do something about it. You can't just fight Tim. Oh, the thought is there. Like, oh, I'm gonna remain pure. You know, I'm not going to have sex till I'm married. Or, you know what, I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm not going to look at pornography. Like, these are good ideas, and these are great things, but it doesn't mean that they're just going to happen and you can just fight them off. You've got to want this more than I want this for you. You've got to not just want this, but you've got to actually do something about this. Otherwise, this stuff sneaks in. It says the devil prowls around like a lion, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. And we just think, oh, no, I'm cool. Like, I could fight this off. No, it's dangerous. You won't win. Number 2, believe this lie. Just a little porn isn't that bad. Oh, I mean, at least it's not that. Well, I'm not paying for it. Really? I mean, I hear these excuses all day long. Like, I mean, it's just, I saw it on YouTube. They don't have porn. We call a lot of that stuff like porn training wheels. Yeah, it's like, oh, I mean, Playboy, the fact that Playboy magazine isn't even pornographic now because there's more money in being like just a men's magazine as there is in what they were doing. So you would say, oh, Playboy's not pornographic anymore. Well, just because they cover up a few parts of the body doesn't mean that material isn't put out there for you to sexually excite you. So don't believe the lie that, oh, just a little porn isn't that bad. I was speaking in Ohio, and we have this elephant for our ministry. It's 25 feet large, it's blue, and it says, confront the elephant in the pew. And I mean, it's available for kids' birthday parties. You know, it's kind of like a bounce house because you can kind of jump inside of it. No, you would never want it for your kid, but it's in my garage. And so we have this, and sometimes churches would ask us, could you ship the elephant as a promotion for our Sunday? Great. So I get to this church. They put the elephant on top of their roof, and they're off the freeway in Ohio. So I was like, that's awesome. And the elephant's there, and it says, confront the elephant in the pew. And so I show up, and I'm ready to go on, and the guy's like, is that your blue elephant? He's all mad. I was like, yeah, it is. Like, it's kind of fun. It's big. He's like, it's been up all week. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, we sent it here. And that's cool that they put it on top of the roof. No, it's not. I had to talk to my 12-year-old daughter today about porn because she's like, confront the elephant. She reads. I was like, okay, well, how did that go? Not what I wanted to do on my way to church. I was like, I didn't really want to apologize, but I'm like, yeah, it's tough, but hey, by 12, like, you should probably, you know, it's probably aware. No, she had no clue. Like, what do you mean she had no clue? He's like, I asked her, do you know what pornography is? She goes, yeah, it's those magazines you have in the downstairs bathroom. And I was like, and he's like, those aren't even porn. And I was like, sounds like your 12-year-old's smarter than you, you know, just like, hey, I gotta go. But like, you're getting all mad at me for like having an elephant that says, and yet your own daughter, like you're lying to her that, no, you know it when you see it. And if it's kind of this belief that, well, just a little isn't that bad. Let me tell you, like a little is gonna turn into a whole lot more. There's a porn producer that we became friends with years ago in our ministry, and I'll never forget. He's been shooting porn for like 18 years at the time, and he said to me, he said, Craig, if I could delete files in my mind like I can on my computer where I just drag them into the recycle bin, I'd be better off. He said, a lot of this stuff is just starting to mess with me. And the reality, he's learned that you can't just drag that stuff to the recycle bin. You can't just delete this. So some of these things that you're seeing, like, man, even if it's not quote-unquote hardcore or pornography, don't believe the lie that just a little porn isn't that bad. Number three, spend more time online and less time in God's Word. You want to ruin your life, like, when's the last time you looked at the Bible? When's the last time you got involved in something here at the church, that you spent time in prayer, that you started taking this stuff seriously? I read that this at this youth conference, they told me the most popular Bible they sold at the bookstore was the 1-minute Bible, because kids are so busy and, you know, they're working so hard, all this stuff, and it's like, they just 1 minute. If we can get kids just to read the Bible 1 minute a day, great. And part of me is like, okay, that's a good idea. Like, make the Bible like, yeah, 1 minute a day. And then I read that kids 13 to 18 spend 72 hours a week in front of technology on average. That's like cell phone, computer, gaming device, television, any sort of thing. You know, if they're smart, they probably do it all at the same time while they're driving. So, I mean, you know, they know how to multitask. 72 hours a week is like 2 full-time jobs. And yet we're all excited. Oh, here's our 1 minute Bible. Like, something's out of whack there. Where it's like, man, if we're constantly in front of all this stuff, there's a high chance that you're gonna struggle, that you're gonna see something, that you're gonna click on something, that then you're gonna just kind of follow that path over here. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be on that at all. I think obviously as parents, like if you've got kids, there should be some restrictions, just like they have a curfew, there should be some things. The problem is a lot of your kids know more about the devices that you gave them than you do. So then they win. They're like, Mom just doesn't know anything. Oh, Mom, that's a new calculator app that I got. Really, really improving my math, so I got the calculator app. Yeah, guess what? The calculator app. It's password protected. Who password protects a calculator? It's because there's hidden files and stuff they don't want you to see because you'd never click on their calculator app. Stuff like that kids know and parents are in the dark on. Don't believe that lie. One, that just a little porn's not that bad, but this one, spend more time online instead of in God's word. I think something's got to shift there. We, like I said earlier, we do these outreaches at these porn conventions alongside of the group from your church. You guys have a booth. You guys give away food, popcorn. We always steal from your booth. And then you got popcorn. You guys got books. You guys got a number of things. And then our booth, we have T-shirts and some different things. And then we have these Bibles that say Jesus loves porn stars on them. And so it's kind of this fun thing because people come to our booth and they're like, what's in the book? And we're like, oh, it's a Bible. They're like, yeah, what did you do to it? Did you make it all sexy? We're like, no, I didn't. I mean, there's some parts that I guess would be, but are there pictures? No. Like it's, well, can I have it? And then we give them to them and they read it. And some people collect them. Oh, I have the purple one. I have the black one. I have the yellow one. And we're like, just read one of them. But we believe this, that God's word's powerful. You got to open it. You got to read it though. And I grew up in this school, this Christian religious home that like we had to do quiet times for our like homework, and then they would grade us on our Bible time with the Lord. So sometimes I get a little jaded because I was just like, that starts to mess with you. I'm at this porn show and I'm handing out Bibles, and this lady comes up to me the next day. She's like, I took one yesterday. I was like, they're free. You don't have to steal. But she's like, I didn't know if I wanted to talk to you all. I was like, well, we're nice. Like, and what we do at the porn show is just like your church. We're just not mean to people. You just talk to people and you're trying to be accepting of who they are. And I was like, hey, what did you think of the Bible? And she's like, as soon as I started to open it and read it, I started to cry. And that's when I was like, oh gosh, like I forget sometimes the power of God's word. Because it's like, I've read this, and it's like, oh, that was homework, so now I don't want to read it again. And then here's some lady at a porn show in her hotel room going, man, this is powerful. This has the power to change lives. And so then we just engaged in this conversation and this idea of yeah, God's word's powerful. But I think if you're struggling today, if you're struggling with sex, with porn, with any sort of these addictions, like, and you haven't given that over to the Lord, you haven't, you know, spent time in his word, man, I'd urge you to go for it. Don't ruin your life by just neglecting what's right in front of you. Number four, wing it when it comes to your integrity. Just make it up as you go. Like, I'm telling you, like, how many people don't think through things until it's too late. My friend's about to have a baby, and I was like, what baby books have you read? She's like, oh, I have time. Like, you have some baby in your belly that you know nothing about. Like, kids don't just turn out. Like, this doesn't just happen. Like, who have you talked to? Oh, no, I don't know. I mean, I'm good. Like, how come we get into these situations and then we just go, I think I can figure it out. Hey, I'm having trouble in my business because I travel on the road. Like, how come we figure that out once we're on the road and we're struggling instead of like backing up and going, okay, this job requires me to travel X amount of days. Man, I'm going to be away from my wife. I'm going to need to figure this out. You're struggling online. Well, you have no filters or no accountability. You're going to continue to struggle. You say, oh, I want to remain sexually pure until I get married. You think that's just going to happen? We found out at this youth conference, only 3% of people actually remain virgins until they get married today. So you think you're just magically, it's just going to happen one day because you went to a youth conference and you said that was the idea. But now when you're dating, you have to have a plan. Who you date? Where and won't you go? Oh, my parents are gone for the weekend. Yeah, that's probably not going to help my plan. You know, like you've got to think through this. You've got to have a plan when it comes to how you're going to succeed. I love sports and I love like great coaches. Phil Jackson, the Bulls, he's one of them. I'm sorry to these Cleveland fans. Tyronn Lue was a lousy player and I don't think he's that great of a coach. I don't like LeBron. I hated it when he won. My wife said, don't break the remote. Because the Packers lost. See, I like the Packers, and I broke the remote. That was my problem. But when LeBron won, I think it goes against every, like, they don't have a plan. It's just give, and LeBron's great, but it's just that idea of give him the ball, he's going to win it. He's going to do what he, and there's players like that. There's a few of them. But most teams win with great coaching, with great plans, with great team. And that's why I like the Warriors, you know, to go, man, that this is the way it should be done. But then you got this guy that just kind of can just make it up because he's great. Ain't none of us are like that. And you're not going to just be able to make this up as you go and have success. I wrote down a few things on, you know, my plan. Looking once means that I'm alive. Looking twice means that I've dissed my wife. I don't do breakfast, lunch, or dinner with women unless it's my wife, my mother, my daughter, or my mother-in-law. That's rare. I'm pleasantly rude. When a female comes up and shows any interest, I say simply, "Be gone from me, you harlot, you prostitute of evil. Flee from me, you spirit of Jezebel." I made that one up. I don't go to strip clubs, NC-17 movies. I don't. I will be accountable to Jeanette, to Matt, to David, and be transparent and open with my struggles. Like, just some ideas of like, hey, man, write some of this stuff down. Figure out like, hey, if you want to have a successful marriage, what are you doing to invest in your marriage? What things are you doing to pour into that? If you want to raise great kids, what are you doing? Like, this stuff doesn't just magically appear. You've got to work. You've got to write this stuff down. You've got to go, no, here's what I'm getting to. But in order to get there, like, I've got to make a plan to make that work. I can't just wing it, especially when it comes to your integrity. Like, you know, I started speaking years ago, and it was like, hey, can we ask people for two airfares instead of one? Well, look what I do. It's like, well, and some churches would say, well, why does he need somebody? And I love it when they're like, who are you bringing? It's like, oh, my 11-year-old. Well, can she do something for us? It's like, no, she's not going to speak or play with the kid. Like, you know, it's churches sometimes will be like, well, if you're bringing someone else, we're paying for them. Like, what? No, that's just part of our plan. Like, I don't travel by myself. And like, one, I want other people around me. Not that churches are the most tempting places, but I don't want to be on the road by myself. There's some things that maybe in your business, in your job, in your situation, you got to back up and go, I got to change some of this stuff. Identify where you struggle, where the temptations are, and then back up and go, hey, in order to have success here, I can't just make this up as I go. Number five, go solo. Like, this one's the easiest because, like, even though we're surrounded by, you know, all these people at church, and you guys have a great church here, but the idea of letting someone in on this stuff is scary. There's a class at 1 o'clock for men. Teenage boys on up to dads. I'd challenge you, if any of you are struggling with this issue particularly, to come back at 1 o'clock. They're going to be going through a not just a book, but there's going to be other guys that are here that you can say, hey, yeah, I've been dealing with this stuff. I talked to a guy after the first service, and he's like, yeah, it's so scary though. Yeah, you know what's scarier is when you go solo and everything is gone. Because you've been hiding this stuff. The Bible says sin will find you out. So eventually it's going to come to surface, but oftentimes it's too late. It might be scary to go to someone and go, yeah, I struggle with this stuff too. I need some help. And you're not going to be judged. You're not going to be, oh, I can't believe that. But you're going to find some like-minded people that you're able to say, hey, man, I'm tired of going about this on my own. We just shot this women's series in San Diego for spouses, women who have dealt with this problem of their husbands. It's called Recover, and it was the idea of like, how have these women recovered? And so we had seven women. We did this in San Diego, right by the beach. It was pretty amazing. One woman, though, said, she said, 20 years of dealing with my husband's porn addiction, and this is the only thing I've ever got for, you know, a vacation in San Diego. And I was like, well, it's not really a vacation because we're, you know, shooting videos and you're, you know, we're doing all this kind of teaching stuff. But it was incredible as seven women got together that all of them had this common thing that their husbands had dealt with. And it brought all these women together. And they said, you know what? Years ago in my struggle, my husband's struggle, I didn't have that kind of support. So women, maybe if, and I'm not saying women don't struggle with this themselves, but if you're going through something where it's like, hey, this is a challenge in your marriage, you need a support system as well. You need to find people around you that will help you, that will help you recover. I think this idea of trying to go about it on our own, I don't know why we think that. But let me tell you, you've got to involve a few close people in your life. If you're a kid, find an adult, find a mentor. If you're a 40-year-old adult, find somebody older than you that's gone through this. Find somebody that's, you know, that's maybe put this behind them that they can actually encourage you. Don't just think, I can do this on my own. We have this software called X3 Watch, and to me, I'm not going to tell you that software is going to be an end-all solution, But the reason why we started this in 2004 was to just monitor where people go online and send a report of any questionable website to a friend. It was a pretty simple idea. That simple idea, I mean, we've had, you know, over a million people download, but it's gotten a lot tougher with smartphones, with iOS, with Android, with Mac, with PC, with all the mobile technology. Let me tell you, X3 Watch won't block or prevent you from seeing everything. There's ways around it. Trust me, I get emails every day that's like, hey, do you know you can get around this? Do you know you should have GPS? Because if I actually go somewhere, no, you should just be honest with the person you've invited into this relationship. And so if you send them instead of me, because anytime someone signs up for the software, it asks them for an accountability partner. That would be your friend, your mom, you know, your pastor, somebody that is going to now get permission to talk to you about the things that trip you up. So then people send me the emails and they're like, here's what's wrong with it. Hey, however you're cheating your accountability system, why don't you just be honest with the guy that you signed up? And then, like, stop emailing me. Like, I get it. There's going to be ways and loopholes around all this stuff. But being honest with one another face-to-face, that's tough. But if you can do that, things like this, things like a support group, things like a Everyman's Battle group here, those are just going to be tools that, yeah, you can cheat, you can get around all that, but I've found that if you can have a few close people to you that will ask you difficult questions, that will push you, that will, you know, that are further along in some of these areas than you, that's key. Every one of us needs somebody. I don't care what you struggle with. You can't keep going about this solo. Next slide. If you fail, just give up. I hear this one all the time. If you fail, just give up. And let me tell you, it's a lie from Satan. The guy I talked to that lost his job, he could, oh, that's my lot in life. No, I lost my job, but I didn't lose my marriage. I didn't let him take everything. I got serious about this, and luckily, and then he kind of talked to me about his journey now since. That was a wake-up call. A lot of people need a serious wake-up call, and sometimes it's too late. It's hard to go just confess this, but let me tell you, it's so much easier to confess this than like get caught and then have to talk about it. If you just go out and the consequences are way less. Don't believe that if you just fail, like you're gonna keep failing and this is like what you're gonna do the rest of your, no, it doesn't have to be that way. We serve a God that forgives you. We serve a God that sees you white as snow. It's not this idea that, man, this is my lot in life. We dealt with a situation with my daughter this week, and she didn't tell the truth to us. And then I said to her at bed, hey, you know, your mom and I care for you, and we, you know, we forgive you. She's like, no, mom's never going to forgive me, ever. And I was like, that's not true. Like, we're disappointed, but it's not a matter of, like, us never, like, well, how will you guys forget it? Well, you're going to show us that, like, you took this seriously, and you're not going to, like, we forgive you. And I think that idea, sometimes we look at God as this God that points a finger and like we're scared of him. And I know I'm scared of a lot of those people that talk about God with megaphones and yelling at us. And that's why we've spun our ministry in an opposite direction to just lead with love and say, no, God loves you despite of this stuff. He's got better plans for you. And we understand this, but I want to look at a God that loves you and has something better, not just counting how many times you've continued to fail him. I mean, we live in a world that obviously, I'm sure your church, just as well as ours, gets flack when you head to places like the adult convention. But our goal in going to places like that is letting people know that, no, if you fail, don't give up. That around the corner, that there's something better for you, that God has something better for you. And you know, when you first go, I'm sure like the first year Valley showed up at the porn show, you're like, I don't know, it's kind of crazy. And you don't get to see things instantly. But over time, when you keep showing up in people's world, like you get to see some fruit of those. The Bible says some will, you know, plant seeds, some will see the harvest. We get this email from a porn star that had seen us for 7 years at a porn show. And it's a pretty incredible story. I'll show you this video real quick.
My name is Rachel Collins, and I've worked with Triple X Church since 2004, and a lot of what I do is going to the shows and working with the groups that we have coming in and ultimately, being in porn conventions and going to the women in the shows and letting them know that somebody cares. So we do everything from bringing them coffee to amazing tank tops that say Jesus loves porn stars and these Bibles that hold incredible messages of hope and truth of girls have gotten out of the industry. And ultimately, everything that we do, everything that I hope to do, bringing these amazing women the knowledge that somebody cares and loves them for nothing that they can do for us, but just because we're there and we know that God cares, that He would be there loving them, not in a judgmental way, not trying to gain something from them, but always being there with a quick smile, encouragement, and love, and, you know, just trying to be there for these girls, because a lot of people are just there to get things from them, and so we try to be there for them and serve them. And with all of that, we are so blessed. I'm so blessed to be able to sit here with Brittany after 7 years of loving on her and knowing that God was working in her life to receive an email from her saying that she'd gotten out of the industry, that that God had completely changed her life. And what's amazing, she is bravely set forward and wanted to share her story. And every time I sit next to her, I get chills, because it's just to see someone whose life has been completely transformed. I'm coming from a really dark place to just being so full of light and love and joy. So I'm sitting here with Brittany.
My name is Brittany. I used to be an adult star. I met Rachel several times at the Exotica conventions. She would know me as Jenna Presley. I would stop by at the XXX church booth to see her. She is so beautiful, and I absolutely love and adore her. I want to give her the most amazing praise report. Thank you, Jesus. I found Him. I'm home. It's been a long 7-year journey of porn, prostitution, stripping, drugs, alcohol, and several failed suicide attempts. But I made it. Little did I ever know that I would stumble upon the XXX church again since leaving the adult industry. I could not believe my eyes when I realized, wow, these are the Jesus Loves Porn Star people. Then I saw Rachel's picture, and I just had to let her know that I'm saved. I want to thank her for all of her kind words and loving spirit. I don't know if she realizes how she impacted me or not, but her being so kind and non-judgmental always felt so good. I never felt love in my life and was looking for it in all the wrong places. It felt great to speak to a woman as beautiful as Rachel, who would tell me that I was her favorite, and just to have a normal, non-porn girl talk. Please tell her that I thank her from the bottom of my heart, and I will never forget what she has done for me. I will be attending the seminar in September, and I cannot wait to see her completely in a different light. I have finally encountered the unconditional love of God, and I will never go back. Thank you for your time. Sincerely, Brittany.
I'm glad that Brittany didn't believe that if you fail, just give up. We watched Brittany get married in February, my wife and I, and Rachel and her husband not only get married, like the wedding of like a dream, like in Santa Barbara at the Four Seasons, she marries into a family full of pastors. And I mean, it's just one of those incredible things to see. And then I watch her now, whether it was on the 700 Club last week or Creflo, I joke, I'm like, you're on Creflo Dollar? Like, who are you? You know, like all these like opportunities that are now kind of come her way to just share this story. And I got on her blog because I know her. We've watched this journey, and she just posted this thing on her blog, like how my husband and I remained sexually pure for our wedding night. And this idea of like, here's a girl who's in hundreds of movies and now finds the man of her dreams and says, okay, but we're gonna now do this the right way. And she mapped out, here's the plan, here's how we did this. And I'm going, man, that's not just brave, but that's the way to do it, where you actually have a plan because, hey, here's what I want to do so I don't get roped into the things that I used to do. Don't believe today that if you fail, just give up. God's got something for you. God's maybe taking you through, you've made some bad choices, or it doesn't mean that you have to continue to do that. My hope and my prayer would be today you decide that to take this stuff seriously. Decide that, hey, you know what? No, I'm not gonna bring this into my marriage. I'm not gonna ask of this of my wife or my husband. I'm not gonna participate in these things. I'm gonna do this the right way. Guys, 1 o'clock, seriously, a great opportunity to be here with some other guys to say, hey, now I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to be vocal about this, that, hey, I want to get around me some guys that have this stuff figured out that, man, so I can be there. There's some resources, other resources here at the church. Our email, just if you email help@xxx.com, we'll send you, depending on if you're a mom or if you're, you know, if you want advice for parents or men, we'll send you some specific information just from our ministry to help you in those regards. I'll be at the back. We've got some of the Bibles and some of the things that about our ministry if you want to talk, but I'd urge you not to ruin your life, to take this stuff seriously, to have a plan, to not go solo. Not believe the lies that this stuff isn't that big of a deal. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. God, I thank you just for this time.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our